The next mention of sickness is in Genesis 48. And I want to mention this one because it might be confusing. There is no sickness here. Genesis 48:1, it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed your father is sick." That's his father Jacob. "And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and went to see his father Jacob." Now, the word translated sick there does not mean sick. He was an old man, and it means weakness. Strong's definition of this word translated sickness is a primitive root. In other words, it's an old word, properly to be rubbed or worn, hence figuratively to be weak. So he was a weak old man. Brown Driver Briggs Dictionary says it means to become weak, or to become sick, or to become grieved, or to become sorry. Well, we know that he was weak if we read on. We know he wasn't sick. If you jump down to Genesis 48:10, it says, "The eyes of Israel," that was his name, Jacob, "were dim with age, so that he could not see." So he was a very old man, and he was weak. He didn't have sickness. Then Joseph brought them near, and he kissed them and embraced them. And then in verse 16, Jacob said this, "The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads." Well, we know that sickness is evil, don't we? And so he was redeemed from all sickness. So he wasn't sick. So there's no one to be healed there. And he blessed all of his children. He called the rest of his children in, and he prophesied over them, told them what was going to happen in the future. And then in verse 33, it says, "He drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last, and was gathered to his people." But he went home without sickness. He'd lived out his days, which is the way it's supposed to be. He lived out his days. And you know, many great men of God have gone home that way. Smith Wigglesworth preached a funeral in the Church of England in 1948. Preached a funeral of a friend of his. In England, the platform's real high. So after he preached the funeral, he turned around and he walked behind the curtain there, and he wasn't back there. People hadn't even left yet. And somebody walked out and said, "Brother Wigglesworth just went home to be with the Lord." Went and sat down. He talked about heaven. Must have got his ticket. The same thing with Kenyon. Kenyon told his daughter, he said, "He was in perfect health. He said, I'm going home today." And she said, "Well, he's finally lost his mind." But he went home that day. Amen. You don't have to be sick to die. You just have to live out your days, which is what God wants us to do. So let's look over here at Exodus 15:25. Here's a promise to the children of Israel. We've looked at this before. Verse 26 says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God." Diligently means not just when it's convenient, not just when you feel like it. "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all of His statutes, I will put none," or "there will be none of the diseases on you which have come upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So the question is, who is the you here? Who was God promising to heal? Well, the answer is everybody who would obey verse 26. Everybody who would diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God was promised healing. In the old covenant, every Jew that obeyed God and did what was right in God's sight was promised healing. All of them. Not one or two, not Moses, but all of them. Now, the next time we see is in Exodus 23:20. Exodus 23:20. And here we find God speaking to Moses again. And he said in verse 20, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep in the way and to bring you into the place where I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey His voice and do all that I speak, because the angel's not going to speak on his own behalf, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I'll cut them off. People need to read that today and quit criticizing Israel. You know, there used to be a man by the name of Menachem Begin, and they said, are you going to give this land back? He said, the West Bank back? He said, you mean Judea and Samaria? He said, God gave us that land, not them. And God did give it to them. And then he says, you shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works. But you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. And we saw that if they don't, they would be thorns in their flesh. Verse 25, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That means out of your inward parts. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in the land, and I will fulfill the number of their days. And of course, I've got that Exodus 23, 25 up there. I have prayed Exodus 23, 25. That's the only prayer I've ever prayed more than the prayers I prayed in Vietnam. You know, in Vietnam, I prayed thousands of times, Lord, or God, I didn't call him Lord, I didn't know Lord, I just knew God. I said, God, please get me out of here with my arms and legs. And I would pray that many times a day. And then I threw that prayer out and I said, God, please get me out of here alive. I don't care anymore about my arms and my legs. Just get me out of here. But this verse here, Exodus 23, 25, when we discovered that verse in the fall of 1982, we have prayed that prayer. And when I say prayed, we didn't ask God to do it. You don't have to ask God to do something. You have to thank Him. He's not a man that He should lie. It says here, if you will serve the Lord your God, He'll bless your food and water, your bread and water, and take sickness away from the midst of thee. So at every meal since the fall of 1982, we have said, Father God, we thank you that you bless our food and water and you remove sickness from our midst. And he has. Why? Because he's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. And of course, I always say, my daughter Hannah always prayed that prayer. She would say, Father, we thank you for removing sickness from the midst of us and our bodies. But that's exactly what the word midst means. It means your body inside of you. So if you'll serve God, he promises to heal. Who does he promises to heal? Everybody who obeys, everybody who does what it says in verse 24, in verse 22. If you'll obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I'll be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary to you. If you don't bow down to other gods, you serve the Lord your God, and he'll bless your food and drink and remove sickness from your midst. God's not a man that he should lie. Take him at his word. Take him at his word. And then it says, no one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I remember years ago, my younger sister came to visit us, and she was a baby Christian. And she came and she said that the doctors had said they could not have children. She and her husband could not have children. And I said, that's a lie. How do I know it's a lie? Because it says there shall be none barren. And I showed her in the Bible, Exodus 15, 26. I said, that's a lie. I said, you're a Christian and you can have children. And some people would say, well, you know, she must be a fool to believe that. She must be a fool to believe that instead of the doctors. Well, she teaches high school chemistry and high school physics, and she's not a fool. She was foolish enough to believe God and have three children. And how do I know she believed God? Because she began to cry in joy. She began to to cry in joy. She goes to a church where they don't teach nothing, so she'd never had any wrong teaching. Sometimes a church that don't teach nothing is better than a church that teaches wrong. So she has three adult children today. That's a promise. If you'll serve Him, you say, well, I'm not perfect. Then when you miss it, ask God to forgive you, and it's just like you served Him perfectly. God wipes the slate clean, and that promise belongs to you if you know it, if you believe it, and if you find it. And thank God for it. So that promise was to all who would serve Him. All of these promises in the Old Testament were to all who would serve Him.